The Red Eye Radio podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
I don't know what they... Oh, hang on one second here. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yes, we're here. Eric, yeah. He's over there. I'm Gary
over here.
It's Red Eye Radio and all this.
Yeah, blah, 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 blah.
I don't know. I saw the story that that apparently Houston has banned the sex robot brothels, but I don't know. We're trying to figure out, are they actually robots? We could get into trouble here, but this is a legit news story. It's something that... Are they mannequins or robots? I mean, do they actually do robotic functions?
Yes.
Oh, man. That was the creepiest answer he's ever given. Ever.
Deep, creepy voice guy.
He just ended a debate that we were going to have for a totally different reason.
Let's move.
I can never unhear that.
Oh, man.
Maybe we need to put out a pre-warning to the people who podcast the show during the day.
I just have to read. Where's this from? Mm-hmm. San Francisco Chronicle. Houston has pulled the plug on sex robot brothel. That's in the article.
Can we have the editors work a little harder, please? Please.
On Wednesday, Houston City Council voted to ban the Dow Bordello that was set to open. The council's vote to change the city ordinance effectively barred the try before you buy brothel from operating near public spaces.
That's the name and concept of this would have been establishment. Try before you buy.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, we're doomed. According to our producer, they can sell them.
You know, we talk about the ignorance of the American public at times, and I will tell you, I'm completely ignorant on this topic. I have no idea whether
they're mannequins
or whether they have robotic functions, I don't know what they are.
Well, now I got to go back and watch the 80s movie, Mannequin.
Well, I
can't. Now it's a creepy movie.
Now my job tomorrow, while paying attention to the insanity in D.C., will be doing research on robot brothels.
Yes. Someone made the comment the other day, you can change the tone of a movie with the music. So put like really scary movie in the movie Mannequin. But The Walking Dead, you put the bass lines from Seinfeld in it.
By the way, I'm afraid to do the research on the robot brothels on my company computer.
No, you'll violate 17 different company policies.
Am I going to violate rules and regulations?
I don't even want to do that on my phone.
It's like, am I going to get... Gary, you're really looking at strange sights, and we need to have a discussion on this. It's part of the show.
Try before...
Well, then change the topic of the show.
Try before you buy. Wow. You know how car dealerships have offers, hey... Come on out this weekend and test drive, and you can, you know, get a price.
Am I going to see TV commercials?
I don't know. RobotsOnly.com.
Well,
where do you advertise that? I guess you advertise that on porn sites, right? Where do you advertise that? Try before you buy.
I am completely ignorant as to the marketing of robotic.
Well, here's the thing.
Brothels.
We don't have, okay. We're just now getting to the point of having robots with human features. I mean, we're not even quite there yet. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they still look very robotic. Every once in a while, you'll see it online, a story. Well, these researchers or this development company made this very human-looking robot. Wow, look at the features. still looks like a robot. But we couldn't just wait 1 second before we went straight to sex. It's seriously, people need to breathe.
Okay, I'm just going to read this line here from The Sun UK.
Mm-hmm.
The research on bra. So I had to look it up on my company computer. Hey, I got it. We're on the air. We got the tape of being on the air, right? It's
no, Brian has promised to destroy that.
I know we're doing the research on it. Sex robots are essentially realistic dolls that have sophisticated movements that closely mimic humans.
Yeah, no.
Mm-mm. Oh, wow.
Mm-mm.
I'll just leave it at this, and then we'll move on. We'll move on to
the latest
summary.
Great.
They're hyper-realistic with features such as built-in heaters to create body warmth.
See, I thought Jeff Flake was going to ruin my weekend. You just did by reading that.
Well, it's a story, and I don't know anything about it because I see the headlines. I'm like, I don't care. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, okay, it's a story. I'm a talk show host. I have to pay attention. If I wasn't a talk show host, I would never pay attention to a story like this at all. I'd be like, I don't care.
No. I just really have to wonder about the industry for that.
They say the specialized robots will start to appear in homes in the next decade.
What do you mean in homes? What do you mean in homes? You mean they will be available for people to take home?
To purchase, yes.
Yes. Start appearing in homes.
That's how they wrote.
I don't want it appearing in my home.
No,
please.
Yikes.
Yeah. Well, there was there's a TV show. It's a British TV show. It's on AMC. AMC in the States shows it. It's called Humans. And it's about robots.
Oh yeah, you've told me about.
Which, by the way, then the TV show on USA, Mr. Robot, is all about humans. But I that's here nor there. But In that they kind of deal with that in one of the first episodes of Humans, because there is a program that you can put into the robot and then engage. But really, the robot thing is there to do your cooking and cleaning and everything else, and they look very human. And it's interesting because they had to cast it with a bunch of people. Of course, who look like robots, which is also interesting. But I would think that would be it. Robots to help, right? Assisting. You know
yes,
what I mean?
Yes, I'll be one of the first to buy the robot window cleaner. I'm more concerned with things like that.
Yes.
To clean the robot that can clean all the windows in my house. That's what I want.
Right.
I don't care about carpeting. That I can do.
Right. Or a bodyguard robot, that
yes.
could wax a chump like a candle.
Yes.
Kind of thing.
Yes.
But
protect me from the mobs of liberals that may be coming after me.
Yeah. So I just wanted to emulate Vanilla Ice, but
robo security cop.
Well, I mean, you think about it, and I did see something the other day where a paraplegic was benefiting, and it was it's still in research and development, but a pair of robotic legs, essentially, that attached to the legs that would help.
That's fantastic.
A paraplegic walk.
I've seen that. I've seen. Yes,
okay,
that's
now we're talking great robotics. Look, I don't want to get into people's personal lives, but I'm just wondering about this industry here. Because, here's the thing. There's one of two ways this goes. Wait, don't get ahead of me.
I'm like bowing my head like I'm done with this topic.
No. It either keeps going down the road of further development, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's surviving as an industry. Or it goes away. You and I, we've said this for a long time. When we hit our 80s or 90s, we're going to look back and go, oh, man, we are so doomed. Oh, my gosh.
No, I remember when we were talking about, it had to be 10 years ago. Remember the study came out, robots will have rights by 2056.
Yeah, that's going to be ramped up to, I think they're pushing that up to 2020.
Right. Right, because at that point I would have been 101 years old, and I said, thank God I'll be dead.
Yeah.
Because because I don't want to be talking about same-sex robot rights.
Right.
Or for that matter, different sex robot rights.
Well, no, that's I was going to go there.
Doesn't matter.
Well, just imagine that a couple of robots get married.
I'm not heterorobophobic.
There you go. Well, or imagine a human marries a robot.
Just created a new word.
If a human marries a robot, then they get divorced. The robot is going to have a zero need for a lawyer because the robot will make a better argument in court than any human. It'll be smarter. You'll never win that game. The point is, don't marry a robot. Oh, my gosh.
Bringing back all the 70s shows. The robot dating game.
Oh, yeah, right. Danger, Will Robinson. That's what the brothel door should say. Seriously.
If they had
that voice on the front door, business would plummet. Yeah.
All right. Coming up here. That's been a topic all this week in Texas.
We never even hit on it
because there's just so much going on. So we were just discussing it during the top of the hour, and it ended up bleeding over into our real show.
Yeah.
Coming up late last night, the Judiciary Committee released their summary of the FBI report. We'll have that coming up. The robot story threw me off my game.
We have other stuff coming up. Yep. There are things we'll talk about.
The story out there that I never thought I'd see just 2 years later, but Beto O'Rourke, don't think we're interested in an Obama endorsement.
Yeah.
We'll get to that and more, plus your calls and comments. If you'd like to get in, lines open now, 866-90-RED-EYE.
In addition to being required by law, pre- and post-trip inspections are vital to the safety of professional drivers. Conducting thorough pre-trip inspections allows you to catch any problems before heading out on the road. Post-trip inspections give the shop time to react to any problems that were identified. During your next pre- or post-trip inspection, check to make sure your fifth wheel is securely attached and free of any excessive wear. The trailer kingpin must be latched properly in the jaws of the fifth wheel. Also, check to make sure your safety chains are attached properly. TA Truck Service understands the importance of these inspections. If you find any issues during your own pre- or post-trip inspection, stop by a location near you to have your vehicle looked at by one of our expert technicians.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-924-SHOP.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE. The supplemental FBI investigation executive summary has come out. The FBI spoke to 10 people and found no, this just came out late last night, no corroboration of the allegations made by two of the Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh's accusers, according to an executive summary released. In fact, it was early this morning it was released. Actually, it wasn't late last night, according to this report. The request was for an investigation into the current credible allegations against Justice Kavanaugh, reads the report released by Chuck Grassley. The summary states that the FBI investigators reached out. This is from the Washington Examiner, by the way. The summary states that the FBI investigators reached out to all witnesses with potential firsthand knowledge of the allegation. So there it is. The FBI investigators reached out to all witnesses with potential firsthand knowledge of the allegations. We've heard from the Ramirez lawyers that, well, no, she had 20 people she wanted them to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
All they cared about was anybody that potentially had first-hand knowledge, not hearsay.
Right.
Were you there?
Right.
Can you back up? Before we go any further in investigation, can you back up that this actually happened? Investigators spoke with six people in an effort to cooperate the allegations against Kavanaugh by California professor Christine Blasey Ford, who testified in front of the committee that Kavanaugh had held her down, put his hand over her mouth, and tried to remove her clothes at a party in Maryland while the two were in high school in 82. Those witnesses include Mark Judge, Leland Kaiser, P.J. Smith, Timothy Gaudette, and Christopher Garrett. The FBI investigators also spoke with another attorney for one of the witnesses. Mark Judge, a close friend of Kavanaugh's, was allegedly in the room when Ford was assaulted, and Ford said it was Judge jumping on her and Kavanaugh that allowed her to get away. Smythe, Claudette, and Garrett, who attended Georgetown Prep with Judge and Kavanaugh, and their names appeared in the 1982 calendar Kavanaugh discussed in his Senate Judiciary Committee testimony. FBI personnel also interviewed Deborah Ramirez, who accused Kavanaugh of putting private parts in her face and forcing her to touch it as she shoved him away while the two were undergraduates at Yale University. Relating to Ramirez's allegation, investigators interviewed two supposed eyewitnesses and a close college friend of Ramirez. A third supposed eyewitness refused to speak to investigators. Participation in FBI background check interviews is voluntary. The supplemental background investigation was ordered by the White House at the request of the committee. 46-page report is what it was, and as we now know, none of those witnesses that supposedly had, and they went through all the witnesses that potentially had firsthand knowledge,
mm-hmm.
and no cooperation again.
Yeah, right. And that's, again, the when you look at it, there was nothing was going to change here. Nothing was going to change. This gets back to the one thing they wanted to do all along. Delay, delay, delay. With the outside hope of having either Kavanaugh himself or the president withdraw the nomination. And that wasn't going to happen. I mean, the louder the left got, the greater, or I guess the stronger, the foothold got by the president and, of course, the nominee himself. This was a tactic by the left to delay this, nothing more, nothing less. Put this off and hope that you can appeal to either one party or the other along the way, whether it's Grassley or Flake or anybody that will help you delay it even further. And that's over. It is over. I don't know what the vote will look like on Saturday night or early Sunday morning, but it's going to happen.
Senator Gaines from South Dakota said and called Kavanaugh and said he will be there for the vote.
Yes.
He will vote no matter what it takes for him to get back from his
right.
daughter's wedding on Saturday. Right now, the vote could be anywhere from Saturday afternoon through late Saturday evening. Who knows, even to Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know at this point.
After
they have the official cloture vote, it will be a 30-hour, clock ticking
mm-hmm.
For debate. It could go less than 30 hours, depending if the Democrats, want to extend it.
But right
now, it looks like 30 hours.
Yeah. If there's a lot of live TV coverage of it, which there may or may not be, I don't know. But on a Saturday on a cable news channel, there's a very decent chance that any of them or all of them will be covering it live throughout the day. If that is the case during that 30-hour period, your usual suspects who may be hopefuls for 2020, Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, may take some time to, get up and debate this or that, or may have a number of things. If there's not that television coverage inside, certainly there will be outside with the protesters, and that's where they'll want to be, which means they'll end the debate early. That's my prediction. And because that's it. And by the way, that's not a stretch. They're very predictable on the left,
right.
Especially with this.
well-deservedly been called every name in the book. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Wow, the Nobel Peace Prize today.
All right, and if I recall, it will happen sometime before we end our show. We often see the breaking news in the final minutes of our program.
The this is from Time.
Yeah.
The favorites to win.
Mm.
Kim Jong-un.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, we, by the way, we predicted that that he would be in consideration.
And President Moon Jae-in.
Right, right. Of South Korea.
Of South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two of the top three.
Or those two together.
Those two together. They're right. Listing the, both of them together.
Mm-hmm.
Kim Jong-un and Moon Jae-in. You know, because they have to. They have to make sure that the dictator of a communist totalitarian regime who has murdered, who knows, untold hundreds of thousands, possibly millions of people in slave labor camps. Since the ACLU has jumped off the cliff, mm-hmm. It's time for the Nobel Committee. So that probably will be it.
Yeah, and by the way, only for doing what? Saying something, but right. Not proving anything in terms of moving toward a doing away with his nukes and a peaceful North Korea. He has not proven anything.
And the other one would be Trump, President Trump.
Right. If we, you and I were talking during the break, if Trump wins the Nobel Peace Prize and Kavanaugh is confirmed on the same weekend, I'm telling you, I don't know how many of our friends out there, the critical thinkers, have an underground bunker to go to, but you might want to find one. Because it will be all out total crazy. What's the movie series?
By the way, the other one they have on there, they have the Pope listed on there. I said, I don't think it's going to be the Pope.
Yeah.
You remember this year.
You remember The Purge?
Then again, it would be perfect.
Yeah,
yes,
you remember the movie, and they're still doing them. I think they did a prequel, the first Purge, that was out recently. And it will be that kind of crazy, probably without all the murdering. I'm just assuming people won't be murdering. But they will go crazy. It will be nuts.
The other story that we want to make sure that we get in here, because we had covered it last night, Michael Sussman, a top lawyer working for the Democratic National Committee and Clinton campaign, provided documents for the Russia probe as federal investigators prepared the surveillance warrant for Trump campaign aide Carter Page, sources close to the congressional investigation have said. The top lawyer working with the Democratic National Committee and the Clinton campaign contacted the FBI's general counsel in late 2016 and provided documents for the Russia probe as federal investigators prepared a surveillance warrant for Trump campaign aide Carter Page. That's why they said that this was extremely explosive, Eric, mm-hmm. Because not only did you have, because this is different than the DNC and the Trump campaign, paying Perkins Coie, who then paid Fusion GPS, the opposition research firm, who then paid Christopher Steele to get the unverified or false information from the Russians close to the Kremlin to destroy Donald Trump's campaign, and then use that in a FISA warrant. But also, you had the personal lawyer for the DNC give to the general counsel of the FBI documents about Trump. Wow.
Yeah.
The FBI official who was contacted, James Baker, revealed the exchange to congressional investigators during a closed-door deposition Wednesday. He said Perkins Coie lawyer Michael Sussman initiated contact with him and provided documents as well as computer storage devices on Russian hacking. The sources said Baker described the contact as unusual and only the only time it happened. Perkins Coie was a key player in the funding of the controversial anti-Trump dossier, which Republicans have long suspected helped fuel the FBI investigation. The DNC and Clinton campaign had hired opposition research firm Fusion GPS in April of 2016 through Perkins Coie to dig into Trump's background. Fusion, in turn, paid ex-British spy Christopher Steele to compile the dossier, memos from which were shared with the FBI in the summer of 2016 and were used to get the FISA warrant against the Trump campaign, which is a secret warrant.
Hmm.
Sussman's contact with Baker suggests another connection between the early stages of the FBI's Russia probe and those working with the DNC and the Clinton campaign. Sussman's bio on Perkins Coie website describes him as a former senior Justice Department official with extensive national security and cybersecurity experience. Sussman is engaged on some of the most sophisticated high-stakes matters today, such as his representation of the Democratic National Committee and Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign in their response to Russian hacking in the 2016 presidential election. Remember, they said it was, the discussion was about Trump and his collusion with Russia. That's what the discussion was about.
Right.
And documents were handed from this Perkins Coie lawyer to the former FBI official, the general counsel,
mm-hmm.
just weeks before the election and a short time before they got the FISA warrant. Wow. And finally, Democratic Congressman Beto O'Rourke said he's not interested in an endorsement. Excuse me, state senator, isn't he?
What? Yeah.
Why are they calling him congressman?
Oh, no, he's not a state senator. He's a congressman.
Oh, okay.
For the district in El Paso.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I'm thinking state senator.
Yeah.
Democratic Congressman Beto O'Rourke said he is not interested in an endorsement from President Barack Obama as he attempts to unseat Ted Cruz in the midterms.
Mm-hmm.
O'Rourke was speaking after a town hall at a local high school and he addressed the unsettling fact that Obama has endorsed 11 Texas Democrats, not including himself. I don't think we're interested, he said in the endorsement.
Right.
I'm so grateful for him for his service. He's going to go down as one of the greatest presidents. And yet, this election is on Texas. So there you go.
Well, it's, again, you can take the money from the liberals outside of the state, but you cannot bring it in, because here's what he knows. A couple of things. many people, especially people in the middle and on the right, who aren't going to vote for him anyway, but the ones in the middle who just might, would be, many of them, turned off by Obama. But beyond that, when you look at Obama and his effect on the left, it doesn't hurt at all that O'Rourke turns him down. What does that tell you about Obama and his influence on the left?
And the fact that it doesn't matter. You can publicly say, I don't want his endorsement.
Right.
Doesn't affect anybody at all. But the deity-like status that Obama... I'm thinking about 10 years ago right now.
Go back to... You know, the post just after the Clinton years. So go back to the midterm of 2002, right? And imagine someone said that then of a Bill Clinton. And Bill Clinton, you know, wasn't the deity that Obama was. But still, in a situation like that, back then, that would have been done behind closed doors, right? If somebody on the left was like, yeah, listen, you know, we're trying to just do this on our own, You know, maybe the voters won't react positively to Bill Clinton being, you know, as an endorsement on the ticket. Now you can just openly say it. Yeah, we're over Obama. We don't need him. I mean, really, it is the major.
He's yesterday's news.
Yeah, but it's the major blue states where he gets applauded. But The question is, does he really have any usefulness to the party itself? If you think about the like when he gave his list of endorsements, remember who he's backing when that came out?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like his bracket used to be. But it really kind of had the same political impact as his. Actually, I could say this. His bracket used to get more news.
It did.
Right?
Well, on ESPN, it did.
Well, no, I mean, in pop culture, generally speaking, right?
No, yeah. I just didn't mention ESPN. That was a sarcastic
for
comment.
A different reason.
Yes. No, it
but
got huge
let's
news.
Not get political by bringing ESPN into
right.
this.
Right, I mean, it got huge news.
No, it was, and the endorsement list, really, I mean, it came out and made its rounds, but it really didn't go any further from that. There hasn't been that presence, you know, by Obama. And that might be his choice. I mean, they've been saying what? That he's hanging out. I did see the stories. Here's what he's reading this summer. Nobody cares. No one cares.
I remember that story.
No one cares. Here's what's on his reading list. Shows him, you know, on a couch, you know, somewhere probably in Martha's Vineyard. Nobody cares. But it hasn't been the political impact. And that part is over. I mean, for the right, it's kind of been that way for a while. George W. Bush kind of went off and well, he retired. He really didn't say a lot.
Hey, I have a question. This just popped into my mind yesterday. Mm-hmm. And you just reignited the flame in my brain.
Mm.
Dershowitz mentioned Martha's Vineyard yesterday, and
right.
It's known as a liberal island.
Yeah, right.
Are there any conservative islands?
Texas. Not exactly an island, but it's about as close as you can get.
Where conservatives go from all over the world to hang out together.
You know, there's the thing.
Because remember, he said he's not welcome.
No.
Dershowitz said he's not welcome on Martha's Vineyard anymore.
I actually asked this question in my mind because a friend, someone in the house was watching something where there was this area, and it was clear in this area it was all liberals. It was part of a reality TV show. But based on the things that people were saying in the show, it was clearly all liberal. And I kind of thought of Martha's Vineyard because it kind of had that appeal. It looked like that, right? And I thought to myself, there isn't a conservative place like that. And there really isn't. I mean, because I don't know. I mean, we don't look for safe spaces.
It's surrounded by water.
It's a safe space. You really have to make an effort to get there.
Martha's Vineyard, the safe space for the elite liberal.
Well, there's the thing, too. It's only about the rich liberals.
The rich elite liberal, yes.
Right.
All right. I understand now.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. I had to clarify that in my own mind.
Right.
I had to work that through, because after you brought it up and I heard Dershowitz, you know, they was asked the other day about, you know, I go to Martha's Vineyard. I can't even associate with those people anymore. I mean, mm-hmm. they've rejected me. I'm like, well, you're talking about a place is like it's all one particular, you know, political bent. Well, yeah, it is. It's like,
it is.
There's no conservative island. Ah, that's because it's surrounded by water. It's a safe space for the rich elite liberal.
Right.
Now I understand.
Exactly. There you go.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So what we have now is the cloture vote. That meeting will start at 10:30. When they actually will finish with that vote, you know, we don't know. It could be around 10:30. It could be 11. It could be 1 o'clock. Yeah. After that that vote happens, the 30-hour clock will start ticking. A maximum of 30 hours of debate. Once that 30 hours is over, after that point, they can have the actual vote on it. So the cloture vote, you know, after the cloture vote, you know, which will move it then to the general vote, would probably be sometime late Saturday afternoon, anywhere through Sunday night, or who knows, early Sunday morning.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch this, but make some popcorn because the chaos is just going to be ramped up. Certainly start a Thursday. They started with the, you know, it's a bogus FBI background check, and it's a cover-up. It is this and it's that, and they'll then transform into the, you know, the or move into the latest whatever claim it's going to be or action it's going to be.
We started off the show by saying it, and we'll end this hour by saying it. There's not one coherent,
no,
critical thinking, rational argument coming from the Democrats.
Right.
We haven't had one.
No.
We've been covering this for over 2 weeks now. We haven't found one.
And there won't be one.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley. Good morning. In the news today, wow, actress Amy Schumer and 300 people arrested at Capitol Hill yesterday for breaking the law. And we started thinking about it early on in the show, but we thought to ourselves, just for the fun of it and to teach them a lesson, maybe, just maybe, we should take away any due process rights that they have or a presumption of innocence. Pretty good idea?
I think so.
Yeah, since it doesn't seem to matter to them, since they've been arrested, let's take it away from them just for the fun of it.
Yes.
And it's a teachable moment. All right, so here we go. The summary was released early this morning, very early this morning, by the Senate Judiciary Committee. The summary, we've gone over it a couple of times on the show. What it shows is that the FBI went and interviewed anybody who might potentially be a witness who could corroborate Dr. Ford or Ms. Ramirez in her allegations. They weren't interested in witnesses that could not corroborate that the incident actually happened. They wanted to know from Ramirez, you tell us who was there. Not people who you told that you had an assault happen. We want to know, in this allegation that you're making, who was there? We'll interview anybody who you say was there. So a total of 10 people. 6 for Dr. Ford. 4 different people for Ms. Ramirez. None of them corroborated any of their story. Another witness for Ramirez did not want to speak to the FBI. It is not mandatory to speak to the FBI. It is simply a background check. Now, Lindsey Graham was on Fox News last night with Laura Ingraham, and his analysis of the Democrats out there, you saw that Senator Bob Menendez said it was BS.
Mm-hmm.
He used the word BS, just so you know.
He used the actual word.
Yeah, he used the actual word, as Senator Lindsey Graham does coming up here, but it's bleeped out just so people know. It's a sham investigation. Everything you can imagine the Democrats throughout yesterday. This was Lindsey Graham's response on Fox News last night.
To my good friends, this is advising consent. This is your view of the Senate's role, is to take a good man's life, turn it upside down, betray Dr. Ford's trust, do everything in the world to destroy him, to hold the seat open past the midterms. That's not advised consent. That's despicable. It's going to blow up in your face. I hope it does, because it was wrong. He's going to get on the court. They have no idea what the FBI supplemental investigation was about. They made up their mind to vote no before anybody said hello. So here's what the three senators asked for. that the Ford, the people named by Dr. Ford, be interviewed by the FBI, just not the committee, and Ms. Ramirez be interviewed by the FBI. That was done, plus five other witnesses. The results are in. Senator Collins and Senator Flake said they thought it was thorough, they thought it was fair, and these two people who are my friends have no idea what they're talking about. And let me tell to my friend Bob, what y'all have done is bull.
Well, all right then.
So much for Senate decorum.
Yeah. Well, the Nobel Peace Prize has been awarded. The winner. You ready? The winners. Are you ready?
What we thought?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not even...
Well, they say normally the top, the people that are the top, which were Kim Jong-un.
Mm-hmm. No one that we discussed.
Moon Jae-in and Donald Trump were the top three, they thought.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It goes to Dennis Mukwege, a gynecologist treating victims of sexual violence in Congo, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Nadia Murad, a Yazidi human rights activist and survivor of sexual slavery by Islamic State in Iraq, have won it together. We'll share the prize, which will be awarded in Oslo December 10th. That prize being, of course, the award and $1 million. I guess they split that $1 million. So there you go. Not Trump, not Kim Jong-un, not Moon Jae-in.
Or the Pope.
Not the Pope.
Because he was on the list. So.
Yeah.
All right, so here we have... Boy, if Trump would have won that on this day. We already talked about that this hour.
Right.
The left would have gone. I mean, Michael Moore today, if he would, on Capitol Hill. Just to see that would have been worth it. just having fun. But as we know, we've stated this before. There has not been one. And I mean one. There hasn't been one rational thought or argument or critical thinking talking point made by the Democrats throughout this entire process. Not one. Mm-hmm. They don't have anything here. Nothing. They have tried to change the topic. And if you listen to anything that they say, they're constantly trying to change the topic. And as we've said all along, to the folks on the right, who at times lets them change the topic, and many people on the right don't stick to the topic, because the topic is only this. Are the allegations supported by any other evidence? Anybody else who has been sexually abused, we have tremendous compassion and sympathy for them. But they have no more credibility speaking on this particular issue, on this particular case, than anybody else. In our justice system, the only thing that matters is evidence. And in our justice system, which is the criminal justice system, it's also the civil justice system, it's also in the political justice system.
Mm-hmm.
The presumption of innocence and the presentation of evidence to back up an allegation is required and is a responsibility, I believe, of every American to ensure that that is the way that the process is held up. Whether it's in the arena of political ideas, that may not be the criminal justice system, but it's the same responsibility that people have not to defame other people's character for their own immediate political wants. Some of the arguments that you've heard, one of the arguments that I thought was the beauty. Well, they started it with Merrick Garland because they would nominate him, so Republicans got what they deserved.
Yeah.
Excuse me? This is something that has been talked about for a long time. Chuck Schumer brought it up back when, in 2009,
mm-hmm.
when he said in an election year, no. And Bush, or excuse me, was it Bush? No. Who was it? Maybe it was before 2009. Mm-hmm. Because it had to be during Bush. It had to be during Bush, so it was before 2009. But Schumer brought it up during the Bush administration. In case one of the Supreme Court justices died, said it should not be the policy of the Senate to nominate a Supreme Court justice during a presidential election year.
Right.
By the way, the stink wasn't as big. It was for a little bit, and then people realized, oh, Hillary's going to kill Trump, so we don't have to worry about it. We'll just get it afterwards.
Right.
But delaying a nomination that has been an idea that both Democrats and Republicans have been promoted for a couple of months to allow the next president, who all the polls and all the Democrats thought would be Hillary Clinton, is not the same as defaming a person's character by calling that person a gang rapist, a sexual assaulter, without any evidence besides an allegation, which the witnesses that the people that brought those allegations about, their witnesses could not corroborate it. And in the case of Dr. Ford, who claims she has the evidence that would corroborate it, she refuses to give it to the body that would make that decision, which is the Senate Judiciary Committee. So to make that case, I mean, that's probably the strongest argument, which is a weak argument that I've heard, was, well, since they held up Garland, Merrick Garland's, well, they deserved it. What do you mean? That was done through the majority leader stating, nope, we've got the majority, but we'll hold it even if we have the majority after the next president is elected.
Right.
Irrespective of whether it's a Democrat or Republican. That's the same as defaming and destroying somebody's life,
right,
with allegations that are not provable.
I didn't see any attacks on Merrick Garland.
None. And so everything that, you know, every allegation that has been brought up is suspect.
Mm-hmm.
Because the witnesses that they brought forward could not corroborate it.
Right.
The things that they said changed, that the alleged victims claimed changed as we went along. And that's what we go by in our system.
Yep.
Whether it's political justice, whether it's civil justice, or whether it's criminal justice. The presumption of evidence and the fact that an allegation in itself, and think about it. The protesters right now that you saw yesterday and you're going to see all day again today that may get arrested again today, and there may be, you know, but thousands more, who knows, they're saying believe the survivors, which means you always believe the accuser. Well, do they believe that? No. We all know they don't.
No.
We all know that's a bogus argument. No. You believe the accuser if they're on our political side.
This is the social media approach now to activists or activism. It's exactly what you see on social media. You know, when we talk about the fact that real people don't live their lives like, you know, people act on social media, we talk about that a lot. Well, the people who are activists, far left, trolls, and celebrities do. They live in a virtual world. Well, celebrities live in a virtual world. That's what they do for a living anyway. They're immersed in it. I mean, it is not... For them, that's nothing different. You just live the fantasy, and the fantasy is whatever it is, whatever you say it is, because you have a blank canvas. That's exactly how they think. That's how they act. And what you're seeing here is social media type activism taken to the streets. It doesn't have to be backed up by anything. I posted it, therefore it's real. I say it, therefore, it's true.
Doesn't work that way.
No.
In the real world.
Right.
So, overall, when we look at the last 2 weeks, and who knows what the vote will be this weekend? I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen any count yet. And I guess we will see.
Right.
And we will know when we come back in Sunday night, Monday morning. All I know is for the last 2 weeks of covering this, There has not been an issue where there has been more passion since the election, but I have not seen this type of unity in the Republican Party. And think about it. Think about what it would take. I mean, I didn't think that you would see the unity in the Republican Party this soon. And it's solid right now.
Yeah.
Because I think they now see that whatever their differences are with Donald Trump, whatever irritates them about the president, whatever they find unacceptable about the president, and I'm talking about the Never Trumpers, a lot are Republican conservative, they look at it and they finally have come home. Why? Because they've looked and they've said, these people, our political opposition is insane. The things that we hold so dearly here in this country. You know, what really binds us? The belief of individual civil rights. Then you've seen the complete capitulation of the American Civil Liberties Union.
Yeah.
As Tucker Carlson called them, you're just a hack organization now. They don't care about civil liberties anymore. Finally, the realization to Republicans across the board that you have a party that doesn't anymore give a damn about the civil rights of Americans. They don't care. That's the message that has been sent to Republicans, and that's why you have the type of unity that you have here as we go into the vote. And as you've seen, really come together over the last 2 weeks. It's been quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very quick.
Yeah.
Your calls and comments coming up. If you'd like to get in, if you would like to get in, we would love to hear from you. We've got more audio cuts coming up. 866-90-RED-EYE.
We in USDA are certainly glad to have Humpty Dumpty put back together again.
Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue has audienced the North American Meat Institute Symposium in Washington. Humpty Dumpty, of course, the former NAFTA, now called USMCA. Perdue said he talked Thursday with Canadian Ag Minister McCauley about it.
And while he's getting beat up a little bit, we are aligned to make sure that this agreement works out for the betterment of both of our countries, all three of our countries.
Perdue later told reporters the original intent for agriculture in the NAFTA negotiations was to do no harm, but he said it's turned out better than that.
We get better access for dairy. We get better access for poultry, for eggs. We get the wheat grading issue resolved. We get the wine issue resolved in British Columbia. And those are all improvements in where we were.
Now, he says the U.S. will go after new agreements with the EU, Japan, India, and China. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
The USDA report is sponsored by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel and Shell Rotella.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Hurley. I'm Gary McNamara. Coming up following the bottom of the hour, we'll play this full audio cut, but I just want to play. Do I have parts of it here? I think I might have parts of it here.
Okay.
From Senator Cory Booker. Okay, here we go.
Okay, all right. What do you got?
I hope I got it queued
here
up.
We go. Here we go.
Trial, but ultimately, has enough questions be raised that we should not move on to another candidate?
That was Senator Spartacus of New Jersey.
Tucker Carlson, that was Senator Spartacus
yeah,
in New Jersey.
I'm sorry, I was doing the hunt over Cory Booker. What?
Oh, that's where he said doesn't matter whether he's innocent or not. There's been enough questions raised that he should drop out.
Yeah.
So if you just throw out the allegations.
Yeah.
And Dershowitz.
By the way,
Dershowitz later on and said, he goes, yeah, I know. They said, what do you think about it? He goes, well, we've been through this already.
Yeah, right.
Senator McCarthy,
mm-hmm.
Prove you're not a communist.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly what this is.
Same thing that liberals were outraged about is
yes.
Now what they endorse.
Exactly. For Omnitrax, here's your forecast.
The desert Southwest back under dry conditions after what was Hurricane Rosa has moved northward. We'll see stretches of I-10 mainly clear today with the exception of far western Texas. There is a moderate risk of excessive rainfall, however, from eastern Iowa into far northwestern Illinois and southwestern Wisconsin, with a larger risk area extending back into the central plains. So you can look to use the wipers for a good portion of the day today on sections of I-80 in Illinois and Iowa, and from I-35 eastward over to I-75 in the upper Great Lakes region and central Midwest area. We're going to see snow north of a line from mainly I-90 in North Dakota. I-94 certainly under the threat of some snow showers. Check ahead for local conditions on I-94. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Show.
He's Eric Hurley, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90 Red Eye. We had just played a little bit of the Cory Booker thing, and then Tucker Carlson calling him Senator Spartacus. But the interesting thing is, he is the one that came out the other day and said that it doesn't matter whether he's innocent or guilty. That doesn't matter anymore. The fact that there's so many questions, which came from the allegations itself, means that they should move on to another
right.
Another candidate. Right. Alan Dershowitz responded to what Cory Booker said. Now, Alan Dershowitz is a liberal, but he's an old school liberal. You know, you think about it. We've talked about the old school liberals, Camille Paglia, for example, mm-hmm. an old school, liberal, one of those who, as we did a few years ago, said, "Excuse me, the whole transgender thing. Hey, left, you better understand that if you do this, you're going to have feminists soon. You're going to be fighting feminists and the transgender activists because you can't have feminism if a man can be a woman."
Right.
If a man can be a woman, if anybody can be a woman,
just by saying so.
If a man can be a woman by saying so, feminism is doomed. And, you know, she was one of the ones that first came out, you know, after, because we had said it years ago, mm-hmm. but she also came out and stated that. And so I really think that, you know, you look at the old school liberals, she's one of them. Dershowitz is another one of them. We may disagree on the role of like John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, the role of the centralized federal government, the debate that's been going on for over 240 years. Should it be big? Should it be more encompassing, or should it be smaller? Still, though, that debate encompasses all the rights in the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. It doesn't reject and say freedom of speech is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Second Amendment rights are gone. Due process rights don't matter anymore. A presumption of innocence doesn't matter because of our politics. No, the old school liberal did believe in a bigger centralized government, but they wanted, even with the big central government, they still wanted, especially, the Bill of Rights was sacred to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it no longer is. But here's Dershowitz talking about Cory Booker, stating doesn't matter whether he's innocent or whether he's guilty. It's just there's so many allegations that he needs to step down. Here's a response.
Do you think, Professor, that that's a fine stand? It doesn't matter whether he's innocent or guilty. He should just submit.
Well, it sounds very familiar. When I was in college, that's what they said about people who are accused of being communists.
Yes.
It doesn't matter whether you're innocent or guilty. If somebody has accused you of being a communist and you angrily responded and said you're not, then A, you don't have the temperament to have the job. And it's just a job interview if you're getting fired from being a professor after 40 years. And what's the difference if you're innocent or guilty? Somebody has said you're a communist. This goes all the way back to the Inquisition, when they would call you in first and make you testify, and then they'd present present the evidence. Look, once you're accused of the most heinous crime imaginable, it turns into a trial where you have due process,
yes,
where the burden of proof is on the other side, where the evidence has to be clear and convincing. In America, we don't allow people to destroy other people's reputations and careers based on an inference of guilt the way the ACLU now says. The ACLU says we should presume guilt, not presume innocence.
After 100 years of defending due process, that's exactly what they're saying. So you are a liberal, you have lived your life in a liberal world, you go to Martha's Vineyard, you know liberals. Do any of them ever say, look, I don't agree with Kavanaugh, I hate Trump, but I agree with you that due process is worth preserving? Are there liberals who feel that way?
I've found very, very few of them. For example, today, 700 law professors signed a letter. They asked me to sign it. I refused. I wrote a dissent saying he now no longer has the judicial temperament. Well, can you imagine if this were a liberal who had been appointed by a liberal president who had been accused and who had acted similarly? I don't think a single one of those professors would have signed that letter. They all failed the shoe on the other foot test. Senator Booker, who I like and know, is just dead wrong. This is all about partisanship. If the opposite was happening, and if it was the Democrats who were putting up a candidate, everybody would be behaving the opposite way. And so it is partisanship. And I think the framers of our Constitution never intended the confirmation process to look anything like this.
I agree.
Yeah. And that's it. I mean, we talk about the process. You know, it's telling that we're at this point and still at this point, in fact, heightened. You'll likely see the chaos heightened today and tomorrow up until the main vote on late Saturday or early Sunday morning, whenever it happens. But we're at this point, but it is all of this chaos before the actual vote. And what is it that matters? It's only about the vote. I mean, this is further proof that this was only about the delay. Delay it as long as you can in hopes, an outside hope, I guess, that Kavanaugh would pull his own confirmation and withdraw his own confirmation, and or the president would do it. That wasn't going to happen. Once the left got loud, that wasn't going to happen by this president. And now we know very clearly it certainly isn't going to happen by the nominee himself. But you look at this entire process, and it has been distorted greatly. There is no guarantee here that Kavanaugh will be confirmed with the actual legitimate process of all of this in place.
Well, you know, when you hear Dershowitz talk about, you know, McCarthyism, mm-hmm. and what happened at that time when, you know, someone would accuse you of being a communist, and so you'd get enraged, and they'd say, well, sorry, you don't have the temperament. The allegation itself meant you were blacklisted.
Right.
The fact that you lost it, and anything was used, you know, against you. And I thought Dershowitz, you know, really, when he said, so you've been a director 40 years and now you're losing control because somebody's calling you a communist. You don't have the temperament for the job. So you're out. You're blacklisted from from the industry. And it's something that liberals used to have in their mind. And I think the important thing is, and it's obvious because you and I have been having this discussion back and forth because it is the left. It is, you know, Antifa, Antifa, as we call it. They're supposed to be anti-fascist. Yet, what do they promote? What is their actual mindset? It's authoritarianism and it's fascism. It's that you must live the life that we wish you to live. And what you see here, from the Democrats, the mindset that they're promoting, everybody that you see, Michael Moore and Amy Schumer and whoever, whatever Hollywood people are down there screaming and yelling about, you know, Brett Kavanaugh, and believe the accuser that the defendant has no rights at all. The defendant is automatically guilty. That is the mindset of a fascist.
Yes.
That's not the mindset of somebody who believes in the American Constitution, in the spirit of America, in the spirit of due process, in the spirit of the Bill of Rights of the United States. It is the mindset of a fascist.
Well,
and when we call somebody, when we say they have the mindset of the fascist, we back it up with specifics, not just, oh, he talks mean, therefore he's a fascist. No. What are his exact words, and what does he actually wish to implement when we talk about President Trump? And, you know, they started on that, and now they've moved on. And this is a very, very important thing for people to understand. And I think this is what may be uniting the Republican Party. It started with Trump. And enough people hated Trump where it stuck for a while. And then they decided to move on from Trump. And they moved on to Kavanaugh. And all of a sudden, the realization, as we said all along, it was a bogus argument, completely bogus, and lies against Trump to begin with. But then they moved to somebody else who more people look at and say, well, no, this is somebody who we really, really like. This is somebody who we really would like in that position. And as much as we don't like Trump, this was a great, 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 great pick. And then you see the same tactics used against Trump that might have been okay for some people because they despised him so much, somehow hit somebody they like. And then they realize, oh, no, if it can hit him, then it can hit him. Oh, my God, they can come after me next. They can go after anybody. And that's what you learn with the fascist mindset. They'll pick out an attractive target to get people, you know, motivated behind them, even people of, you know, of goodwill. And all of a sudden, those people of goodwill wake up one day and say, and sometimes they wake up in a society and it's too late. It's not too late here in the United States, and it's not too late in this instance. And it looks like that because people have fought back, you now have, you know, created this unity in the Republican Party. But remember, it only goes so far because people of goodwill buy into it at times.
Yes.
Because it fits their political narrative. But it is the mind, what you're seeing is the mindset of a fascist. And the fascist in this case is not the Republicans. It is the Democrats. And it's not debatable.
Well, I mean, it's very simple. When you look at the group that says they're anti-fascists, and their name, in fact, is condensed down to those, condensed from those two words, they're the group that's willing to go out and hurt people, use violence against people they disagree with, punish people for thought. They're the ones who are acting on it. They're the ones in California who create laws that if you don't talk the way we want you to talk, we can send you to jail. In New York, we can fine your business to the extent that you will be out of business. Tell me that's not fascist.
You don't create the art that somebody wishes you to create. We will destroy your business.
You wear a hat. You go to a restaurant and try and have a peaceful dinner. We will come on to that private property and we will shout you out.
You think like us. You behave like us. You reject the Bill of Rights. And if you don't, we will destroy your life. Republicans are finally coming around and uniting, realizing, oh, my God, that's what that party has become. And it's not the fringe. This is the important thing of the day. This is not the fringe. This is the mainstream.
Yes.
This is the Senate Judiciary Committee. It's the mainstream power of the of the Democrat Party.
And you have Maxine Waters, who doesn't get any grief from the left for saying, this is what we need you to do. This is what we want you to do. Go out and get in their face every chance you get.
And all of a sudden, you've got pushback.
Right.
Because the average American will put up for a while until all of a sudden it's like, whoa, okay, the line's been crossed. And I believe many people believe now that this line has been crossed. I hope they do. Mm-hmm. Let me put it this way. I'm not going to make the prediction that they have yet. It seems that they have. But my hope is that the American people have had enough.
Yeah.
And that more people will start rejecting the mindset of fascism that is being promoted by the mainstream of the Democrat Party.
Yeah.
And as we always say, tell us where we're wrong. You can't. 866-90-RED-EYE.
How much do you know about synthetic oil? Heavy-duty trucks have been running on traditional mineral oil for the last 100 years. But today's technology brings us other options to consider. It's better quality. Unlike mineral oils, synthetic oils have a consistent molecular structure, giving it the ability to support pressures from higher horsepower engines, especially at lower RPMs. It also allows oil to reduce friction in an engine, controlling temperatures and improving fuel economy. They're cleaner, Synthetics pick up fewer contaminants as they do their job of lubrication. They also have better oxidation stability, resulting in an overall cleaner engine. Synthetic and semi-synthetic oil may be a bigger investment up front, but the benefits of its high-quality composition will pay off in the long run.
This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. So the scenario is today the cloture vote. Well, they'll meet at 10:30. When they actually will have the vote, and how long it will take to do the whole cloture vote, and what they have to go through. I've seen already, could be 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the afternoon before the vote's actually finished. Once the vote is finished, they have the clock tick is ticking for 30 hours of debate, and at the end of that 30 hours. At a time still to be determined, they could have the vote. Now, the senator from South Dakota, who initially there was thought that he might not be able to make the vote because his daughter is getting married, the Republican senator, he called Kavanaugh, said, no, I'll be there for the vote.
Right.
I'm going to my daughter's wedding, but fly back, I will be there for the vote.
If you looked at the soft head count right now, it appears it might. It could be right now at that 50 mark. The question is, where will Murkowski go? You don't have Heidi Heitkamp. She said she's a no. Manchin has said he's still undecided.
Let me ask you about Heitkamp. Is that an admission that their polls say she can't win and she knows it?
Too little, too late. Too little, too late.
That it wouldn't make a difference?
And hope to somehow get back into politics later, run for a different office or whatever it is.
Because she's down, last she was down by 12.
Yeah, that's, and with Manchin, does he feel, with a roughly a 9-point lead in the latest poll, does he feel that he could vote no and still be safe in his state? I doubt that. Because those polls can change. You can whittle away 9 points, especially something this big between now and the November election. So I don't know about Manchin, but we'll find out. And we'll find out, we'll have an indication with that cloture vote.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.